From Lena Versi Athletics, this is the Burn 'Em Up Podcast. And now let's join your host, Carmen Lastoria and Philip Tang.
Welcome back to another episode of the Burn 'Em Up Podcast. Philip Tang, Carmen Lastoria, back here with you. And Carmen, busy weekend for Lee Athletics. This weekend a little different. Everybody's on the road as soccer gets the conference of the way. The volleyball team goes to Arkansas. Cross country is on the road in Alabama, so a rare Friday, Saturday, Sunday where nothing's at home. It's kind of weird for us.
Yeah, you know, we had a couple of home events out of the gate, which were really exciting to get our first look at the teams this year. And then, as you alluded to, big one for soccer, and we'll talk more about that here in just a second. But soccer going to go on the road and open up Gulf South Conference play. Both the teams will be down in West Alabama on Friday night. And so, it's you know, you play the non-conference schedule. They all matter. They're all important. But when you get into conference play, that's when the season really officially starts. And then volleyball's got one more tune-up, weekend tournament before they get into conference play themselves on following Tuesday at home. So, yeah, it's an exciting time as we get into Gulf South Conference play. And, of course, we have done really well in Gulf South Conference play across the board over the last several years, winning the All-Sports Trophy, and so hopefully we can continue that this year as well.
And last year, we look at it, we talked about on the broadcast, men's soccer, so tight last year, 2-7. We could have finished any one of those spots last year, so it's going to be another tight race, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a lot of balance in the league. There are a lot of teams that on any given day can go out there on the pitch and get the win and get the result they're looking for, and so that makes it exciting. Every game is a battle, every game is a test, and we certainly look forward to it.
Well, our guest this week scored a lot of goals, let's put it that way. The first game of the year, he had a hat trick for the Flames, Eamon McLaughlin, and he was named not just Gulf South Conference Player of the Week, but the United Soccer Coaches National Player of the Week. So, Eamon, welcome to the Burn 'Em Up Podcast.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Now, Eamon, you obviously played a lot of soccer in your life. How many hat tricks? Was that something that was rather unique for you? Certainly collegiately it was, I'm sure. But
I mean, I've definitely had hat tricks before, but it's been a long time since, and not at this level, so that felt good.
Yeah. So you see that first one go in. It was early, right? Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it's what, four, I think in the third or fourth minute of the match, first match of the year. So that has to feel good. But then when you got that second one, did you start to think in the back of your mind, hey, maybe
yeah,
that third one will go?
Absolutely. It was in the back of my mind. And, like, any time we go forward, I was just eager to make sure I was tailing behind because I knew something might fall. And I mean, I got the rub of the green on that last one because hit the crossbar and the ref didn't know, but bounced in and it counted, so I was like, luck was on my side that night for sure.
I was going to say, no VAR on that one. No, it was real close to going
it
in.
It was
everyone
just me giving it a shout to the ref, push his arm a bit, but no, it definitely crossed the line.
Well, hey, when it's your night, it's your night, right? Yeah. And so it just felt like that was a fitting end to that opening night. But how does a win like that, and you guys are 3-1 in your non-conference, so, you know, had a tough loss last Saturday against Lincoln Memorial, but really have played really well in the non-conference portion of the schedule. How does that really motivate you guys and give you that confidence as you now go into the grind of Gulf South Conference?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we first came back this year, there's so many new faces in the group. Like, it's a completely new team. And Philip, I laugh with you. I remember on media day, we were walking in and you were like, who is all these guys?
Right.
Like, it is a completely new roster. So, like,
sure.
In the preseason, there isn't a lot of time in preseason to, you know, let alone get ready for the season. But there's building a team, cohesiveness, culture, installing all the core principles before you even look at, like, the soccer side of things. So things were moving as well as could be. And pre-season we were unlucky in terms of, like, cancelled exhibitions, so we hadn't got I don't think we had a fair chance to actually look at ourselves as a group in, like, proper competition before North Georgia, and then when we got into that game it was just like, all right, here we go. And we knew when we started fast and started hard that night, we just took control of the game, and that 3-1 win was good for confidence and let us see that, yeah, like, we're here to compete this year. And we carried that in to the next two games. And Chuan was a tough game because we travelled, it was 1:30 in the afternoon, it was hot on a turf, and we got the win, and that was 2-0 North Greenville. I didn't play North Greenville, but, like, I thought the guys were brilliant that night. It was a competitive game, they came to fight and play hard, and we won 3-0. So we were 3-0 in the season, kind of thinking, okay, like, this is as good as can be, you know. And then obviously Lincoln Memorial was a tough game on Saturday, and I mean, I think it's a good thing we got that out of the way. Like, 2-1, a couple of different calls on the night went against us. I thought we had a goal disallowed in the first half, which would have changed the game. So having that, to lose that just going into conference, it's like kind of lit a, you can see it in the guys today, especially in practice, that it's lit a fire in them that, you know, there's still lots of work to do and still lots of areas we can improve. And I think that'll serve us well now going into this weekend, ready to start GSC play.
Yeah, we can talk about that. I don't want to get you in trouble, but I'll say it. I mean, that was one of the more ridiculous calls. Hopefully nobody from the GSC is. But it was a bizarre call. So, yeah. You know, sometimes you have a tendency, you know, to think, oh, man, the calls didn't go our way tonight. But that one really was, you know, even in the post-game interview that I did with Coach Pottinger, that's a game changer. I mean, absolutely. Making a call like that, which seemed you know, very odd that you would consider that. For those of you that don't know, the play was, you know, so the goalkeeper had control of the ball, clearly didn't, had no control over the ball. So it's a live ball, obviously, mm-hmm. right in front. We clean up the garbage, so to speak, and get it into the back of the net. And the goal's waved off. Nobody knows why. I mean, nobody's offside. There was no foul. There was no penalty. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so just one of those kind of out of left field calls. But, yeah, I thought you guys showed some resiliency, though, in being able to battle back. You get the equalizer in the second half. Now they, you know, were able to convert late. But, you know, seems like a resilient team. Do you get that sense? Yeah, I mean, you said a lot of new faces, but no, it seems like there's some resiliency.
Absolutely. I think,
there.
Like, you know, even in an exhibition game, we went 1-0 down early, came back with two goals to go 2-1 up, and we have showed that at times, and we've showed when teams in our last three games that we won, we've showed that, like, if teams want to get, like, dirty and want to, not dirty, but want to play hard and want to get into the mix.
No, overly physical,
we don't shy away from that at all. And, you know, like, there's loads of us that are willing to stand to that, and we can take that as a team. I think in terms of Saturday, we kind of just got what we've done so well this year, starting just from the start, how we start, the intensity we bring. And I think we didn't bring that on Saturday from the get-go, and we were a bit disjointed. But then obviously when that call for that would have equalized the game at 1-1, when that went against us, if that had been in our favor and we tied the game, maybe that would have kick-started us a bit earlier in the game.
Oh, sure.
Because it took us, I can't remember what minute we scored and tied the game, but it was maybe just a little bit too late to go on.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe we could get another one, but it was maybe a bit too little, too late to go and close the game out. And
sure.
You talked about coming out fast out of the gate. And one thing I noticed in the first two home games, at least, like, the speed on this team is incredible. Like, last year, you guys were very fast. This year, it seems to be even faster, especially up front.
I agree, absolutely. I mean, Ryan Tuidy is just coming into himself. Like, he hasn't seen a lot of field time in his first 2 years, but he's a junior right now. And Ryan's someone who, like, since I've been here, he's showed glimpses in practice of, like, real quality and someone that can really go and produce moments of quality. And he did it last year against West Alabama at home. He hadn't seen much of the field and came on and we won 1-0, and it was him scoring a great goal from outside the box. But yeah, but overall I think, like, his intelligence, just the way he's playing the game, he's been brilliant this year so far, and he's confident, and hopefully we can keep him like that. We have Marcos up beside him, Spanish striker, and he's, I mean, both of them are lightning quick when we get them going. And Fabian's, you know what I mean, Fabian's lightning as well. Like, yeah, we're just very fast going forward, I feel like. And in behind defenses, I think we're very fast, and we can cause trouble with that this year.
Is there a player, a professional player, that you tend to model your game after? You know, we see this a lot in some different, you know, sports as you kind of grow up. Maybe, you know, particularly here in the States, you grow up playing baseball and you kind of model your game after this player. You grow up playing whatever sport it may be. Is there a guy that you kind of said, hey, you know, that style of play is kind of what I want to model my game after? Have you kind of just made it your own?
I really like Kevin De Bruyne at Man City. Like, I think he's elite. And as a midfielder, I'm more of like an attacking midfielder, and I like to pick the ball up in pockets and create things. So I would say Kevin De Bruyne. I might know him, but do you know who Roy Keane is?
Yes. Nah, yes,
you do know who Roy Keane is? Yes. Irish guy. He's an old timer, but his, like, the way he plays in terms of his intensity and, like, the way he plays in terms of his intensity, his tackling, his fight, I like to add that to my game as well.
So I love watching soccer. Now I'll admit it. I'm a NFL fan, you know, baseball. And so when I watch soccer, I usually pick it up like international play, you know, so World Cup, Gold Cup, you know, those type of events, the Euros, you know. So I really get into it when it's international play. I think I need a Premier Team League, though.
Manchester United,
is that who you're saying?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. I mean, we're not very good in recent years, but I've supported them since I could walk and talk, so they give me enough good years growing up.
Okay, I need to latch on to a Premier League team.
Yeah, you got it, because it's just year round. You know,
year round, yeah. Okay. Well, I'll take that under advisement. Yeah. I'll take that under advisement.
So you were a transfer coming in here.
I was, yeah.
From Old Dominion. Mm-hmm. So first of all, how did you end up going to Old Dominion? And then how did you end up coming here to Lee?
Yeah, Old Dominion was my... So I played at Old Dominion, and then at my end of my sophomore year, like, we didn't do well at all. I think it was Division One, but we won 3 games, and I knew I wanted to change come the end of that. And like, there was just, I mean, there's lots of different parts of what makes you want to be there or not be at an athletic program. And the winning was one part, but like, out of a roster of 30, I think we had 15 guys transfer out at the end of that fall season. I went on the portal, and I will never forget this. I remember I walked to the athletic offices or whatever to, I'd say that I needed to be put on, wanted to be put on the portal. And by the time I got back to my apartment, Tori Strickland, our old assistant coach, had sent me an email. Like, I'll never forget it. And so I think when he sent me that email and I was just reading it, I was walking in the door and just all the stuff about it. And I looked it up, and I think I had already done enough research about Lee before I got another email through that I was like, okay, this is my number one pick. And I spoke to Tori, and I mean, I had a lot of offers, to be fair. And I spoke to Tori, and then I spoke to Coach Pottinger, and I was in a crunch time, because this was maybe 5 days before Christmas that I went on the portal. And obviously it's a quick turnaround. That's like maybe 2.5-3 weeks until I would need to have been at my new school. And I spoke to Derek Pottinger, and after speaking to him, I think I was set, and I just said, I just need a day or two. I just need to make sure this is the right decision for me, my family, whatever. But I knew in my heart and my head that this is where I wanted to be. And yeah, I haven't looked back since. Like, it's been the best decision I made since I've been over here, for sure.
Well, it's worked out for us. Yeah. It's worked out for the Lee Men soccer program, certainly. Eamon, you've been a big part of our success over the last couple of years, and this year especially. So what's one of your favorite matchups when you go on the road in this conference? Obviously, it's every game's a battle, or even, you know, doesn't even need to be on the road. But is there a team that you just get extra pumped up to play in conference play?
I mean, West Isle this Friday, I'm pumped to play them. They have a few Irish boys, and they gave us a tough game last year, and I think a couple of Irish boys were saying some things about how we got away lucky last year or whatever. So I'm pumped to play them. And West Florida, I think we you know, West Florida is a team that, like, it's always head-to-head, and they've got the edge in some areas on us the past 2 years. So I think West Florida, I'm itching to go at that. AUM, like, same thing. Like, AUM last year, I think they robbed us. Like, so I'm hoping to get one back on that. And then, obviously, the screaming one is CBU.
Yeah.
Like, that quarterfinal. Right. I mean, that still lingers in me, to be honest, and in certain ways. So there's a lot of, like, no, it's not bad blood, but there's a lot of stuff that, like, you want to put right as a player, especially getting into your last fall. So I think honestly, it's like every weekend that I look at our schedule now, there's either on a Friday or a Sunday, you're playing someone where you have a chip on your shoulder. And I think that serves me well and the team well, because, like, gives you that extra bit of edge, you know?
No, that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, Philip alluded to it, but it's, you know, everybody's so balanced. Most of these games come down to the very last minute or two, right? Everything's close. And I think that's what I love about sports, the rivalries, the competitiveness. And you alluded to bad blood, and sometimes that gives a connotation of, like, dirty play. Not talking about that, but just talking about, hey, we're going to get up, we're going to give it everything we got. We don't like you, you don't like us, let's go settle it.
That's what it is. It's literally knowing that, like, you know, there's guys on our team and there's guys in their team, but we're willing to put ourselves on the line to leave with 3 points. And I think that takes you ways of technique, football ability, can't, you know? So I'm looking forward to those games, and I think hopefully this year we can come out on top, for sure.
Absolutely.
Did it surprise you when you came here to the league and playing in the Gulf South Conference how balanced and competitive the league really was? Did it
I still say it. Like, I think it is the most competitive conference that I've heard of. I mean, like, at my last school, even there was just two teams that ran away with it, and others couldn't compete. We couldn't compete here. I don't know if I'm right on this, but I'm pretty sure it was last year, going to the last weekend of the last game, I think we were 5th or 6th, won that game, and finished 2nd in the conference.
Like, going into that last game, I think if I remember correctly, depending on whether we won or lost and other things that happened around the league, we could have been as high as 2, which we were, or as low as 7.
It's honestly crazy. And like, it is honestly crazy. And, you know, this year you have to think, like, all those teams that were sitting in those same conversations last year in them same positions, like, they're all looking at that thinking, all right, like, you know, we were just right there. We just missed out by one game or something. So they're all thinking that, you know, this could be our year. And it's no different to us. Like, it's going to be the same thing. People are adding to their team and, you know, changing things that they might have thought didn't go their way last year. So everybody fancies themselves in this conference, you know. And I think that makes it exciting, but it also means that, like, you know, you can't, there's no weekends where you can take off. Like, right. And I think that's important. That's why when I touch back on saying it was maybe good to drop that game against LMU before, because, like, it sucks losing, and after a game, the way you feel, it's like, you know, it's better feeling that then than feeling it in the middle of a GSC game, right. Because you can't afford to let games slip by you, because it's, I mean, college sports, it's a fickle season. It's only a couple of months, so.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I love the intensity, man. I love the competitive fire. Yes. And, man, what a great start to the year for you individually, as we mentioned, with that hat trick, but also as a team off to a 3-1 start. And now we get into Gulf South Conference play. Let's do it, my man. Hey, best of luck to you, Eamon. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks very much, guys.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more here in a moment on the Burn 'Em Up podcast.
I was told the place I was looking for didn't exist.
A place that could refine my raw talents into something greater.
Where I could ask big questions about my faith, not settling for easy answers.
And I could risk what's comfortable in pursuit of my dream.
To join with others, find my voice, and change the world.
I was told that place didn't exist.
Then I found Lee.
Welcome back to the Burn 'Em Up podcast. Philip Tang, Carmen LaStoria, back here with you. And Carmen, great interview with Eamon. Got a lot of good insight on the men's team and all sorts of facets of the game.
I love his mentality, right? I mean, you can tell just by talking with him and you know, hearing him, he's a gamer. I mean, he's a senior. He understands that this is his last ride out there collegiately, and he's just got that mentality, hard-nosed player. Like he said, you know, we're not afraid to play physical, but we've also got the speed, you know, and the ability to be very tactical players as well. So I'm excited. I think that you know, he's exactly right. I think there's a good mindset around this team. I think they're hungry. Certainly every other team in the Gulf South is as well. As we mentioned, it's so evenly matched. But the Flames have a really good opportunity this weekend. You go on the road where it's hard to win in conference on the road, and if you can come away with, you know, 4 points, maybe you get a win and you get a draw or something of that nature, and you're able to kind of steal a game or two on the road, boy, that really puts you in the driver's seat, because, one, you know, it's hard to win on the road in this conference. And two, the Flames, particularly under Coach Pottinger, play so well over on that turf at the Raycon Sports Complex. It is really a home field advantage. I know it didn't quite go our way on Saturday, but we are very tough to beat on the turf field there at the Raycon Sports Complex. So, big weekend to open up on the road, and we're excited to follow along and see what happens.
Well, we talked with Eamon. The Flames beat North Greenville back last Wednesday, and then fell to Lincoln Memorial. So they'll take on West Alabama in Livingston at 8:30 Eastern time, 7:30 Central in West Alabama. Then they'll take on Huntsville coming up on Sunday. Lady Flames this past week, Carmen, tied North Georgia 1-1 and then beat Trevecca 3-0. And honestly, the way that unfortunate end to the women's soccer game, it felt like a loss. It was a tie against a team that had only given up one goal all year, and that was to the Lady Flames. But you feel like you just, 1.4 seconds is what you missed from getting a win.
Yeah, we don't want to rehash that, but for those of you that don't know, of course, it was basically a buzzer beater. North Georgia scores with a second left on the clock, which you don't obviously often see in the game of soccer. And so I know that was disappointing for Coach Hennessy. But, man, all the credit in the world to Coach Hennessy, Coach Buzil, their staff, and, of course, their players, because, boy, they bounce back in a big way, and they go to Trevecca on Saturday, and they get a convincing 3 goals in the second half, right? 3 second-half goals to win 3-0, coming off such a disappointing tie, which you mentioned it certainly felt like a loss in that tie to North Georgia. So, it was a great way to wrap up the non-conference portion of the schedule. Now we get into conference play, both on the men's and women's side. Women's side, always a battle in conference play, but maybe not the balance that you see on the men's side. But certainly, I mean, I think you're going to see some familiar players on the women's side. It's going to be Mississippi College, it's going to be West Florida, and it's going to be us, and it's going to be a battle.
Yeah, the top three there.
Those are, I think, clearly the top three teams on the women's side that have separated themselves, whereas on the men's side, you know, maybe a little bit more jumbled there. But, you know, I think Coach Chris Hennessy is really liking where this team is. You know, there's good balance on, you know, on every level of the field. When you talk about, you know, strikers, midfielders, defenders, there's a lot of balance there. Players that can score from anywhere on the field, anywhere, any position on the field is dangerous. And so, Yeah, I think this is shaping up to be another successful season for the Lady Flames. And, you know, now we get into conference play and you'll really begin to find out where you're at as a team.
Definitely so. They'll take on West Alabama and Huntsville as well over in Alabama. The volleyball team had a great weekend. They went 3-1, beat Francis Marion, beat Southern Wesleyan, swept Erskine, and then fell in five sets in what seemed like a game that took forever against Emmanuel College and just came up 4 points short in that fifth set. But 3-1 weekend, 6-2 start, best start since 2017 when we went 6-2 to start that year.
Yeah, and that 2017 team was the team that made it all the way to the GSC semifinals. So that's a team that, you know, did the best out of the NCAA yes. era volleyball teams back in 2017. So anyway, yeah, 6-2 start. The Krista Fobb era is off to a great start. I mean, she has just come right in, and these players have bought in, and she has brought a culture of excellence. And, you know, this is a fun team to watch. You know, she's brought in a couple of new faces, you know, Julia Davis and, you know, Naomi Hockless and Carmen Perez. There's a lot of new faces, but I'll tell you what, I want to shout out two players from this past weekend that are returners, and that's Allie Scurlock now. Yeah. She got married. She was Allie Whittinghill, got married last summer. So Allie Scurlock had a fantastic, I mean, career weekend.
Yes.
I think she had 18 kills in that first match.
Yes,
she
like
came
16
back
another.
16 the next. And then Abby Stroh, who was named to the all-tournament team as well. So those are two veteran players that really showed out this past weekend. Yeah, to go 3-1, and then the only loss was a five-setter to Emmanuel there. So, yeah, 6-2 start, as you alluded to, best start since 2017. You know, it's going to be – yeah, there's going to be some ups and downs along the way, especially as you get into conference play. But the GSC in volleyball – kind of wide open. We know West Florida's good. They're always yes. going to be good. Other than that, it's kind of wide open. And so it's going to be exciting to see this team get into conference play. They've got one more weekend non-conference tune-up tournament to go to this weekend down in Arkansas. And then they'll get into conference play with Montevallo on Tuesday. So a great start to the Krista Fobb era. And it's going to be fun to watch. Come on out to Walker Arena this year and see these ladies play, because they're a whole lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, volleyball will go to Arkadelphia, Arkansas. Take on Wachita Baptist, Truman State this weekend, and Arkansas Monticello. So trying to get three more wins before conference play starts. And you mentioned the conference and the GSC. West Florida has four losses already, but they're all to, like, top 15 teams.
Yeah, so they play a lot. They play
a very tough schedule. But
very tough non-conference
Some of the teams from last year that were in the top half of the conference have struggled to start. They're not doing as well. And some of the teams that were lower, like us last year, have started better. So we'll see how this all kind of plays out.
Yeah, Montevallo looks like they may be rebuilding a little bit. They had a good year last year, I think finishing the top three in the conference. Mm-hmm. This year they've already got
five or six losses,
so a bit of a slow start for them. Now, things may tend to balance out a little bit here as we get into conference play. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's wide open, an opportunity for the Lady Flames to make a little noise on the volleyball court.
Men's golf finished yesterday. They did not get to play that third round because of it rained apparently all day up in Michigan, so they had that long 12-hour drive back. Fit came in eighth place. Bennett McNabb had a good individual tournament. First tournament as the new head coach for Evan Spence, and I'm sure he would like to have a little bit of that first round back, but a good solid finish for the Flames.
Yeah, kind of put themselves in a tough spot after that first round, and so in talking with Evan and Coach Connor Pullman, assistant coach Connor Pullman, you know, I think they were really looking forward to the opportunity to get out there in round three and try and put together a complete round and maybe, you know, jump up the leaderboard a little bit. Obviously, the weather did not allow that. But, yeah, it's tough to play up there. We got off to a slow start up there last year as well when we played up there, even with a veteran team that we had last year. Different kind of grass up there. You know, you know a lot of more Kentucky bluegrass up there up north, mm-hmm. which is, you know, where I'm from and where I used to play up there. And then down here, you've got a lot more of Bermuda grass. And so it is different. The ball comes out a little bit different. But, yeah, just some uncharacteristic, bad swings there kind of put us behind the eight ball after round one. Played better in round two. And then obviously didn't get the chance to finish it in round three. But Bennett McNabb, such a solid player. I mean, he was so good in region and at the national tournament. Really put up some big rounds when we needed them and just a steadying presence there. Oliver Lewis Perkins, he's going to be a great player again this year for us, obviously. He's an All-American. He's a veteran. Got off to a bit of a slow start, but he's a guy that once he gets it rolling, he's going to be tough to beat. And there, you know, a couple of new faces in there. So guys trying to prove themselves in the lineup. I know Evan and Connor were really excited with the way the team's looking after qualifying. So yeah, this first tournament, hey, you want to, you know, you want to put up a good performance, but no problem. They'll continue to improve. They'll continue to get better, and they're going to be a force come springtime once again.
The Flames will go to North Georgia's tournament this next week. So not quite as far a drive.
That's a region preview too, yes. By the way. So that's where the South Region Championship will be there in Gainesville, hosted by North Georgia. It's a track we've played several times over the last couple of years and had some success. So, yeah, hopefully that'll be able to get them back on track. I expect them to have a good showing next week.
And the disc just finished. The Lady Flames came in second place in their opening tournament hosted by Anderson. Anderson ended up winning it by 20-something strokes playing on their home course. You expect that.
Well, they're a dynamite program, yes. Too, so no shame in that. But a very good showing to start off the year for Coach G, Giandre Almeida, and the Lady Flames off to a great start. I think it's going to be a fantastic year for them as well. They're a top 10 program.
One of our new players, Pearl, shot a 69 in round two and then turned around and shot a 71 today. She ended up finishing tied for third. Then Yui shot a 72 today. So ended up coming in second place in the opening tournament of the year. Next week, they host their region preview because we get to host the regional tournament this year. First time in a while that has happened. And so bunch of teams are coming in here to play at the Cleveland Country Club.
Yeah, we've hosted it in 2019 and 2021. It's a great venue. So if you are local, if you are here in the Cleveland-Bradley County, Southeast Tennessee area, come on out Monday and Tuesday and watch your Lady Flames play on their home course against some of the best competition in the country in the South region at the Cleveland Country Club. The crew over there does such a great job. The staff, you know, the Cleveland Country Club hosts a lot of amateur events, USGA events, you know, so they're no stranger to hosting big-time events. And so this will be the third time that we've hosted the South Region Championship. That'll take place in May, but every year that we host it, we also host a preview in the fall. And so we're excited. I mean, we don't often get to travel with the golf team early in the fall because there's other sports going on. We usually don't travel with them until the spring. And so it's a great opportunity to come on out and get a look at our Lady Flames golfers and get an eye on them. And also, you know, the competition is going to be great, so it's a great opportunity to see where you stack against some of the nation's best. But unfortunately, in 2021, we came up just short as a team, so we didn't qualify for the South Region, even though we were hosting it. So I know Coach G is dead set on making sure that doesn't happen again, which I can almost positively say. I think they're going to be in position there to be in the field this time around. But, yeah, it's always fun to play at your home course, and looking forward to getting out there and hosting that tournament with some of the nation's best teams.
Couple other sports getting their fall season underway. Both tennises will start. Men's tennis is going to host Cumberland University, but it's going to be at Bradley Central tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And then the Lady Flames will go to Cumberland on Thursday. And then they'll go to Lincoln Memorial's Invitational on Saturday. So a little bit of fall action if you're in Cleveland. You can, again, go to Bradley County High School tomorrow and watch the Flames take on the Phoenix of Cumberland.
That's right, and that, of course, is because of the issues that we're having with the DeVos Recreation Center. So the rec center here on campus, many people may be aware, there was an electrical fire there at the beginning of the semester. Fortunately, nobody was hurt, but the cleanup process is going to be a couple of months long, and so the DeVos Rec Center sits right next to the DeVos Tennis Center,
right.
And so it's not allowing for the Flames to be able to host those fall tournaments here on campus. So they'll be just down the road, as you mentioned, at Bradley Central High School. So, yeah, I know Coach Hines is really excited to get it going. Of course, his Flames finished the year ranked number 12 in the country last year. So by far the best season that he's had under the direction of Coach Hines. And so he's done a great job with both the men's and women's programs. And I'll tell you what, they've got a chance to make some noise this year. I mean, they've got a lot of players returning on both sides, both men and women. And, you know, they feel confident they can continue to take that next step forward. You know, they got a lot of monkeys off their back last year, particularly on the men's side. You know, you got the win against West Florida, which they had never done before. You know, you get the top ranking. You know, you get your highest ranking that you've ever had. In my estimation, yours, and a lot of people's, they should have been in the region, weren't quite able to get there. So, you know, there's a lot of incentive to, okay, let's take that next step and see, you know, hey, can we make a run at the GSC? Can we make sure we lock ourselves into a regional bid and get into region? So, yeah, it's exciting. Obviously, the tennis season really officially you know, get served up there in the spring starting in February, but these matches do count. You know, the fall schedule is more of a kind of a you know, kind of a non-conference, so to speak, type feel where you just get guys out there individually and get them some opportunity to play. But it counts, and it's an opportunity to go out there and see where you stack up here in the fall and what you need to work on going into the spring.
Final two sports, it's cross country, their second race of the season. They're going to the Southern Showcase in Huntsville. Jacksonville State University hosting it. There's like 40 different teams running for both the men and the women. It's going to be one crowded start to a race.
Correct me if I'm wrong. They'll also head down to Huntsville for the GSE championship, right?
Yes.
So this will be you know,
a preview, essentially.
They're no stranger to running in Huntsville. They run in Huntsville several times a year. Yeah, it'll be a great test. A lot, as you mentioned, a packed field. So you're going to really get a good idea of where you stand. But, you know, they went up to Knoxville a couple of weeks ago and made a big statement against a bunch of D1 programs up there. You know, we talk about, you know, the amazing talent that has come through the distance running programs over the years. You know, of course, highlighted by somebody like Christian Noble, who's a generational talent. Celine Ritter, a generational mm-hmm. talent there on the men's and women's side. But it's the depth of both teams this
right.
year that I know Coach Caleb Morgan's really excited about. And so, in other words, top to bottom, they're probably better than they've ever been on
yes.
both sides of it. Both teams are ranked in the top 10 nationally. So another good test on the way to getting ready for the conference championship in the middle of October. And then, of course, you know, you'll have the South Region Championship and the National. So, yeah, a lot to be excited about with the distance running program, which if you follow Lee Athletics, that's not a surprise. Coach Caleb Morgan just continues to reload and build that program up. And, yeah, excited to see him see where they stand against a packed field down in Huntsville this weekend.
Well, we're finally back in action, so we can jump back into fired up moments of the week. And so I'll go ahead and jump in mine. Mine's got to be Allie Skirlock. Like you already mentioned her performance, but 18 kills in one game to follow up with 16 kills, like I think 53 kills over four games to lead the Lady Flames to a 3-1 record. And they had three or four people that were sick, not able to play the whole weekend.
Right,
so
right.
to get three wins out of that, pretty good. But mine is going to go to Allie Skirlock's performance.
Yeah, hard to argue with that. I mean, she was incredible. Great to see her and Abby. You know, it's been some ups and downs over the course of their career here with the Lee Volleyball program. And so to see those players, those senior leaders step up in a big way was really gratifying. I'll stick with volleyball, and I'll go with Coach Krista Fobb. She got her first win right out of the gate on the road, her first collegiate win. But how about her first win at home on
right.
Wednesday against Tusculum? Had the family there, had a couple of former teammates of hers were there. And so just exciting to see the direction of this volleyball program's going under her leadership. And, yeah, still a lot of work to be done, but it's exciting to get those milestone wins. You need to take time to celebrate them.
Yes.
So my fired-up moment of the year of the week was Wednesday, getting to see volleyball back at home.
Right.
And then Coach Krista Fobb getting her first win as a coach. Now, she had a lot of wins in that gym in Walker
yes.
Arena as a player, because she played on some incredible teams under Coach Andrea Hudson back in the day. But her first win in Walker Arena as a coach. Congratulations, Coach Fobb.
That's going to be it for this week of the Burn 'Em Up podcast. We'll be back next week with another guest, and we'll recap this busy, busy weekend. Again, the only thing at home this week is the tennis team against Cumberland University, but they're at Bradley Central. Everything else is on the road, so stay tuned to Lee U Flames online on social media and at leeuflames.com for all the latest. Our thanks to Eamon McLaughlin for joining us this week. For Carmel Astoria, I'm Philip Tang. We'll talk to you next week.